Numbers chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Would you stand tonight? We're going to read two verses now, then we'll turn our, or three verses, and turn our attention later to some other verses of this portion of Scripture. Numbers 13, starting with verse 31. 31. But the men that went up with him, Caleb, said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." The latter part of that last verse, "we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." I want to preach tonight on through the eyes of a grasshopper. Through the eyes of a grasshopper. Many of us have seemingly impossible situations, but there are different ways we can look at those impossible situations. And the way we don't want to look at our impossible situation is through the eyes of a grasshopper. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, Lord. Help me to speak. May our hearts receive. Lord, I pray you'd move in this place, oh God, tonight. Lord, you'd give help and hope and healing and strength, oh God, that you would do the impossible, that you would give, Lord, each here with that kind of problem, just a faith and a belief, Lord, that you're going to move on their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Through the eyes of a grasshopper. Andrew has had several school projects through the year, and I can't remember if this is for a school project or just what. All I know is I found myself with Andrew out in the empty lot there, out where my garden is. I found us out there trying to catch grasshoppers. And he was running around trying to catch one. And I said, "Son, I want to show you how I used to catch grasshoppers. I used to fish as a boy profusely. And when I ran out of worms there at the old pond, I'd go out and catch grasshoppers. And they work just as good, catch those bass." And I haven't written a book on this or anything, but I perfected for myself a way of catching grasshoppers. A lot of people make the mistake of running up and trying to grab them with their hands, and they see you coming and they're gone. So I stealthily walk upon them, and I'm showing him this. And I get close enough within a leg reach, I can see them start hunkering down. You know, they sense you're there. But instead of coming straight at them, I swing my foot out like this, and come at them from the side quickly and bend the grass over. You don't want to smash them. They don't make good bait that way. But bring the grass over to hold them like bars of a cage. And then you caught you a nice grasshopper. Wasn't that good? That was worth coming to church for. But this last time when I was with Andrew and I was doing that, I suddenly had this thought. Here's this grasshopper. He knows something big is coming at him. But in that millisecond before my foot crosses on top of him, what must it look like to that grasshopper to see my foot coming at him? Even a big grasshopper. What must it look like to see this foot swiftly descending upon him? Noah, would you mind help me just a minute? This won't embarrass you. Amen. You know, I'm fairly tall, but I really don't have big feet. I just wear a size 10. That's a small foot for a man my height. Would you do so? Would you mind to lie down here for just a minute? You're going to be a grasshopper. Can you be a grasshopper? My foot doesn't look very big to you, but I want you to know something. To Noah, it looks big. Because he's looking at it from the perspective of a grasshopper. You see, the problem these Israelites had is they were looking at their situation through the eyes of a grasshopper. Hallelujah. How huge our problems will look and are going to look if we look at them through the eyes of the grasshopper. You notice what the people said in the text I read. They said, so we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They said, these Anakins here, these giants here, we were in their sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in our own sight. I've always wondered about that. Did one of those Israelites walk up to one of those giants and say, hey, buddy, what do I look like to you? I mean, how did they know what they look like in the eyes of the giants? I'm sure they didn't ask them. I'm sure the giants didn't tell them, hey, you little grasshoppers, because they were spies. They were hiding. You know how they came to that conclusion? They told themselves that. They looked at those giants and they decided that they were grasshoppers. Listen to this. And the moment they decided for themselves that they were like grasshoppers to those giants, they began to see those giants through the eyes of the grasshopper. The moment we decide that in perspective of our problem, that we are way too small to handle it, we are totally incapable of overcoming it, at that moment we put ourselves in that position, our perspective becomes a perspective of a grasshopper, and we look at our problems, we look at our situations through the lens and through the eyes of our own limitations and our own inability, and we see our situation as these did through the eyes of a grasshopper. If you feel like a grasshopper, you're going to see things through the eyes of the grasshopper. Oh, these men ought to realize something. They were not grasshoppers. They were the children of God. They were the people of God. Amen. They were the people of promise. They were more than grasshoppers. They were God's army. Hallelujah. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but you must refuse to allow it to make you feel like a grasshopper and look at that thing and view that thing through the eyes of the grasshopper. You must tell yourself, whatever your situation, whatever your problem, whatever your difficulty, you are a child of God. Hallelujah. That'll change the perspective. Can you say amen? I want you to look in verse 1. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I want them to spy out the land which I give them. That is the promise of God. The promise of God is that I am going to give my people this land, a good land, a land that flows with milk and with honey, a land where you're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to vineyards you did not plant. You want to drink of wells you did not dig. God said, I am going to give you that land. I'm telling you, any way you look at it, that is a promise from God. Amen. That is a promise. I will give you that land. They did not need to fret how they could fight the giants. They did not have to be anxious on how they were going to knock down the walled cities. They did not have to be nervous of how they were going to have the ability to possess the land. They didn't have to be, because God said, God promised, I am going to give it to you. Hallelujah. It's a promise of God. You may be up against a difficulty. I believe if you would listen, I believe you'd hear the voice of God saying, I am going to give you the victory. Listen, church, He's made promises to us, and His promises are going to happen. Hallelujah. There is always more that God is prepared to give us if we'll just believe. He said, I'm going to give them the land. There's always more that God is prepared to give us if we will but believe. Here's a sad thing. Geographically, the Israelites had come to the point that they were at the entrance to the land of promise. They were on the brink of going in. They were on the edge of receiving their inheritance. They were right there at the place that God was going to launch them into the possession of the land. They came right to the edge, but it did not happen because they looked at the situation through the eyes of a grasshopper and stood instead of looking at it through the eyes of the people of God who had been promised by God to receive. How do you want to look at the situation tonight? The eyes of a grasshopper or through the eyes of a child of God to whom God has promised you victory and overcoming? Hallelujah. I believe He's promised it to us tonight. Human nature to this night has not changed. Human nature is the same. God's people still despair at their situation, even in the face of God's promise that He's about to fulfill His very promise. We know the promises of God. We've heard them. And yet when we look at our problems, we despair in the face of the promise. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it's time we turn our eyes from the difficulty to the promise. Hallelujah. He's the God that has promised it. Let's look in verse 17. The Bible says in verse 17, I'm going to show you the viewpoint, the outlook of the grasshopper. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan and said unto him, get you this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong, weak, few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. That was put there so you could shout right there, that parenthetical. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came up unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one of the clusters of grape, and they bare it between two upon a staff. From my earliest remembrance, I can remember this being illustrated in church. How many can remember that? Men carrying these big grapes on a pole. There, they bore them on a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the people of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. I want you to think about these grapes. I don't think they just cut them down. I think they tasted of the grapes. There's no doubt in my mind when they saw those huge grapes that they took advantage of it and began to pop those things in their mouth. I believe that cluster of grapes was a lot lighter when they got back to the people of Israel than it was when they left the place that they founded. But here is the viewpoint of a grasshopper. They tasted of the fruit of promise, but they did not believe they owned the vineyard. I said they tasted of the fruit, but they never believed they could own the vineyard. Hallelujah. Don't have that viewpoint of the grasshopper. I want you to know every good service, every moving of the Holy Ghost, every anointed word of God that touches your heart, every moment in worship when you feel the Spirit of the Lord is a taste of the victory God wants to give you. It's a taste of the overcoming that God wants to be yours. But so many have the viewpoint of a grasshopper. They experience the move of God in church, and they leave, and the weight of their problem descends back on them, and they say, it's going to be the same old, I'll never get the victory, I'll never overcome, I'll never see the light of day. What happened when they were in the service, feeling the Holy Spirit and enjoying it? They were tasting of the grapes, they had the viewpoint of a grasshopper, they never believed they could own the vineyard. I'm telling you, when God allows us to feel the Holy Ghost and taste of the grapes, what He is telling us is we can own the vineyard if we have the taste of victory. It's because He wants to give us complete victory. Oh, can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. They were grasshoppers that tasted but never owned. You can say God's blessings are great, but I just cannot overcome my problems. That's the grasshopper viewpoint. Even tell yourself, if God allowed me to taste the grapes, I shall also own the vineyard. Hallelujah. Certainly the viewpoint of the grasshopper. Amen. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, and told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. If they'd stopped there, they'd had a good report. If they'd stopped there, there would have been victory. Amen. Man, they had to admit, they had to deed, it's a good land. The promises of God are good. Can you say amen? The promises of God are exciting. The promises of God are thrilling. If they had just stopped there when they said the land was good, but they went on. Verse 28, nevertheless, but. That makes you nervous when people get to that. I really think you're a good brother. Really? But. Ever been there? You're doing good in school. But. It's a good land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw. There it is, the grasshopper viewpoint. We saw the children of Anak there. And then they covered the whole land. So we saw enemies everywhere. We didn't see the Anakins. We saw the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites in the north, and the Jebusites in the central area, and the Amorites in the mountains. And we saw the Canaanites, the Philistines over by the sea, and over by the coast of Jordan on the other side. They just saw enemies everywhere. And they started listening. I not only got this problem, I got this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. I got all kinds of ikes in my life. And here's the second. Looking at the eyes of the grasshopper, they saw the good of the land, but they focused on the giants. They saw the good of the land, but they focused on giants. Oh, I love serving God, except for the battles, except for the temptations, except for the valleys. I love coming to church, except for this and except for that, but for this and but for that. I know God has promised a good land, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm struggling with. You don't know what I'm facing. You see, the truth of the matter is, God is a God of reality. He didn't expect them to be blind to the fact that they were giants. But here's how it was. God knew they were going to see the good of the land. They would see the milk and the honey and the grapes and the pomegranate. He knew they would see the good of the land, and God knew they would also see the giants. What God wanted them to do was to focus on the good of the land instead of on the giants. Listen, you as a person of God, and I as a person of God, we have a decision to make. We know it's that's a good land. We know the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. We know it's the best way of living. But we also know there's giants to face and giants to fight. But the difference of our perspective is what we focus on. The grasshopper focuses on the giant, but the child of faith, it focuses on the good of the land. Hallelujah. Be a grasshopper and simply focus on the giant. Focus on the good land of promise. The sons of Anak, they could not get over the sons of Anak. One translation for Anak is long necked. I like to joke, if you haven't noticed, I've got a long neck. I'm 6'3", but I tell people if I had a normal length of neck, I'd only be 5'9". And these giants, I don't know how tall they were, 7 feet. If they hadn't had such long necks, they'd just been a manageable 6. I'm talking about perspective. I also know from archaeological studies and historical studies that most of the people of Canaan, the average height of a Canaanite was 5'2". But they were focusing on children of Anak. I learned years ago in studying this that the Canaanites knew they were short. And so they would hire the children of Anak, the tall ones. And there wasn't a whole lot of them, but they'd put the first few ranks of the armies with these giants. And the rest of them were 5'2", but they put the giants up front. So when they encountered the enemy would look up and assume that the whole army was giants. And it was just the first few rows. It was intimidation. And the grasshopper, seeing it through the eyes of the grasshopper, they saw the giants instead of the multitude of 5'2". I don't want to have a grasshopper viewpoint, do you? I don't want to look at it. The enemy will attempt to intimidate you with your problem. All you'll see the outside, you'll be fooled. It'll look worse to you than it really is. Years ago, between sessions at Bible school, had a friend that lived in Oklahoma City. And at that time, I had a little Toyota. I mean, it was small. And I'd get in that. Y'all see how many guys we could get in that at Bible school. But I went to pick up my friend in Oklahoma City, just he and I in the front seat. And we're there on I-40 or 240 in Oklahoma City. And I don't know, we were talking. And I might have done something, I don't know, cut these guys off. But I looked in my rearview mirror. And there were some Oklahoma rednecks. It's a little different rednecks around here. But behind me in the vehicle. And they were mad and they were cussing and they were gesturing. And they were picking up speed. They were going to get us. And it was just getting dark, you know, because they couldn't quite see her. And I told my friend, I said, quick, hurry. He said, what? I said, just do what I do. And I'm already pretty tall sitting up at Toyota. But we got up off of the seats of the car, and we did our head like this. You know, here's the roof of the head. And when they pulled up alongside us, I looked over at them like this. And they stopped gesturing, and their mouth went shut, and they just drove on. They were saying, look at those big old guys in there. Didn't know I was 6'3" and weighed 150 pounds or 55 pounds. That's all the children of Anak were. I know they were big. But the multitudes of the Israeli army, the people of God, could have easily taken them with the help of God. But seeing it through the eyes of the grasshopper, that's all they could see. You know, the enemy, he would like you to get to the point that's all you see is your giant tonight. Do you notice I emphasize it when I read in verse 28, it says, we saw. In other words, they didn't say, we saw all these grapes and really focus on it. We saw the children of Anak. That was what they chose to focus on. That's what they couldn't get over. But thank God there was a different perspective. There was someone that wasn't looking at things through the eyes of the grasshopper. Look at verse 30. And Caleb, one other spy that had a different viewpoint, Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. He was right there with those 10 with the bad report. He saw everything they saw. He saw the same giants that they saw. He saw the same walled cities, but he was not looking at it through the eyes of a grasshopper. He was looking at through the eyes of a child of promise. Hallelujah. He said, up right now, let's go and possess. We are well able. Hallelujah. You know what he said? First of all, he said, let's not dally. He said, let us go up at once. I'm telling you, we keep putting victory off and keep putting victory off. I believe God wants us to have it right now. Hallelujah. Make up our mind. Don't doubt. He said, don't dilute it. He said, we can possess it. That take complete control, conquer it. We're not going to get in there and get a little bit of the turf, a little bit of real estate. We're going to possess it. We're not going to live on equal terms with those folks. We're not going to live as servants of those folks. We're going to possess it. Don't dilute the promise of God. Don't say, I'll just get a little bit of victory. I'll get a little bit of help. No, don't dilute the promise of God. Say, I will possess the promises of the Lord. Don't dally. Don't loot it, and don't doubt. He said, we are well able. I said, it's not a guessing game. It's not a 50-50. It's not a 75-25. We are well able to overcome it. That's not looking at it through the eyes of a grasshopper. It's looking through it from the eyes of a child of God that knows he has the promise of the Lord behind him. Hallelujah. And then the viewpoint of the grasshopper, verse 31. But the men, still as Caleb, that went up with him said, here we go again, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I want you to notice what I emphasize, we. They left someone out. They left the one that made promise out. They could not say, if they wanted to, they could not say, they are stronger than God. But they weren't focusing on God, factoring in God. So they could say they are stronger than we. But the problem with that sentence is they did not factor in God into the equation. The viewpoint of grasshopper is they failed to factor in God. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things that are stronger than we. I want you to notice through all of this, you know, there's a new thing about faith. You deny reality. Caleb didn't deny reality. Caleb didn't say there's no giants there. Caleb didn't say, well, you know, they're not really tall. There's no denial of reality in true faith. True faith isn't standing up and saying, I don't have a problem when I do have one. That's not faith, that's lying. But what faith is knowing the situation, but choosing rather to look on the giants. You focus on the promise of God, and you factor God into the equation. The giant is taller than I am, but he's not taller than God. Hallelujah. The giant is stronger than I am, but he's not stronger than my God. And don't have the viewpoint of a grasshopper and focus on the giant. Even fail to factor in God. But looking at the situation, put God into the equation, it changes everything. Here's the sad thing. What they chose to believe concurred hand in glove with what Satan wanted them to believe, to stop them. When we focus on our giants, when we fail to factor in God, we fall exactly in line what Satan has prescribed, wants us to believe for the downfall of our life and our experience. It's time to fool him. It's time to say, I'm not going to believe the report of these 10, but I'm going to believe the report of Caleb. I'm not going to believe the report of the grasshopper mentality, but I'm going to believe the report of the people who hold to the promise of God. Whose report will you believe? Hallelujah. The sad thing is about this story is not that they tried and failed. The sad thing about the story is they failed to try. Hallelujah. Don't look at it through the eyes of a grasshopper. Look at it through the eyes of one whom God has promised. You believe that tonight? Do you believe God has promised us? Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Early this morning, Sister Hurst and I was talking, and we was talking about a gathering of a group of people. And she said something that was really good. She said, you know, I know Christians have trials and Christians have troubles. But you get around certain people in certain groups, and they would make you think that that's all there is battles, trials, and hard times, and big insurmountable problems. She said, there's more to serving God than just that. I know there's giants, but there's also the good of the land. Hallelujah. There's walled cities, but there's vineyards loaded with those grapes. Amen. There's a Jordan River that flows, it has to be crossed, but there's land that flows with milk and with honey. How many's going to focus on promise tonight? Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? Lift your heart and hands. God, I'm just going to believe you. I do have a giant in my life. I do have an insurmountable situation. But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe the promise of the Lord. I'm going to focus on the promise of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm not denying reality. I just choose not to focus on how bad it is. But I'm rather going to focus on what a great God that I serve. Hallelujah. You can have a change of your perspective tonight. You can have a change of your viewpoint. Give your situation to God. Give your future to God. Give your problems to God. Give your giants to the Lord. And say, God, if I serve you, I shall overcome. I will triumph through Christ. You will fulfill your promise to me. And I choose to believe your word over every other report tonight. I choose to believe your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want us to come tonight. If you've got a giant, but you're going to leave here with a different viewpoint about your giant, I want you to come right now and say, God, I'm going to come and focus on you. I'm going to leave with a different viewpoint about the giants in my life. Would you come begin to fill the altar right now and say, oh God, I'm not going to have that mentality. I'm not going to have that viewpoint. I'm not going to have that perspective, but I'm going to look at it as a child of promise, a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just going to taste the grapes. I'm going to own the vineyard. Hallelujah. Oh, pray that way tonight. Oh, God, I'm not just going to taste the grapes. I'm going to own the vineyard. Hallelujah. I'm going to own the vineyard. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, let's seek Him tonight. Hallelujah. Let's seek Him tonight. He's greater.
He's greater.
Oh, look to God. Focus on God.
God is greater.
He's greater
than the need.
He's greater than the need.
He's bigger than the problem.
Oh, yes.
No matter how bad it seems,
God can
I know
solve it.
That He can solve them.
Oh,
just trust Him and
trust him.
Believe.
Oh, trust Him and believe.
He can do anything, for He's greater.